Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It is Wednesday night. Rachel is on assignment, so you have me, little old me. My name is Bennett Pomerantz, and this is Let's Talk. One of the principles that Let's Talk started was to get guests from all walks of life. Now, I will tell you, this young lady is a radio talk show host herself, and she has a lovely company, which amazes me. I looked at the staff she has called Purse for the People, and it amazes me. It is so interesting. And I had asked her a question before we got online, because somebody asked me, he says, does she have any purses for men? And she boldly said, not yet, but we're working on it. So I'm very impressed with this. I want to find out where she started as a dentist, and now she's doing a business radio talk show on Heartstock Radio. I want to talk about Purses of the People and other things. So before I forget myself and get really, really in-depth with this beautiful lady, Dr. Carol Murphy, how are you, ma'am?
I am fantastic, Bennett. Thank you so much for having me.
It's okay. I'm impressed with your purses. I mean, geez, they amaze me here. You started in Maryland. Now you're you do it yourself rancher and a horse breeder. I'm like, yeah.
I've made the rounds. Yeah, I actually have come full circle. I grew up here in Butte, Montana, went to California, went to college, went to dental school on the East Coast in Baltimore, came back to California, had a dental practice there, and raised horses. Sold my practice, moved back to Butte, Montana, and that's one of the things that has motivated me when I came back here and prior to coming back here was what I saw growing up in Butte, and it really motivated me to get involved with social entrepreneurship.
Okay. Let me ask a simple question. This is from Diane. She says, how did you start your own business radio talk show?
Well, that was more coincidental. I mean, there was a lot of forethought that went into the handbag company. When I arrived in Butte, KBMF, which is a public radio station, was just starting up and breaking ground. And some of my friends from high school and earlier days were involved with KBMF. And I just, on the spur of the moment more than anything, thought, oh, gosh, that sounds like fun. I'd like to do a talk program. So I spoke with Clark Grant, who is our producer. He's the grand poopah, as they like to call him. He's the driving force behind KBMF and the director, manager. Spoke to him about my ideas, and he said, that sounds great. Let's do it. So it was spur of the moment, and we haven't looked back.
And how does it feel to be a radio talk show host?
Well, it's one of the most amazing things I've ever gotten to do in my life, I have to say, which is kind of funny because it really was the spur of a moment decision to do that. And I really have to give Clark and everyone at the station a lot of credit for just kind of asking me to go for it. And it's really connected me to my community in a lot of ways. I've gotten to interview some really interesting people, both within the United States and here at home in Butte. I think a lot of the issues that we face in Butte are actually national or even international global issues because we're a Superfund cleanup site. and it's connected me with a lot of wonderful people, and it's made me even more determined to continue on my path. It's been very inspirational.
And do you find this maybe a growing experience for you?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. As time goes by, because Clark is a major collaborator with Heartstock, he and I bounce ideas off of each other all the time, and we're both growing in the process. He knows a lot more about radio and public radio and doing these sorts of programs than I do. So I'm, let's see, how can I say this? I am more entrenched in the subject matter from a historical standpoint because I grew up here and I experienced firsthand what happened in our community over time. And he's new to Butte. So we both have our own unique perspectives. And I think that that's a beautiful thing because it has helped us create something that's getting better all the time. And very proud of it. Very proud of what we've done.
So how did you create Purses for the People?
That is a much longer and detailed story.
Well, that's why you're on the hot seat this afternoon.
Yes, and I get to tell you all about it. So I kind of I had these yearnings and longings as a dentist to do something that was much broader in scope. I found myself very torn prior to attending dental school and applying to dental school because I had so many things that I was very interested in, and my undergrad degree was actually in egg business and animal science, so kind of a rural agricultural background. And I thought about going to law school. I thought about being a documentary maker. I thought about a fashion design career. I thought about a lot of things. So my interests were really varied. And as a dentist, I felt like I wasn't doing something that was broad enough in scope. So I began exploring different options, you know, really went on a soul-seeking mission. And I came up with kind of what I felt was my calling in life, what my purpose, what I was put on the planet for. And a lot of that related back to Butte and what I saw happen there and what's continually kind of an unfolding saga here in our community around business and how business is done and how we can, how I passionately felt because of the experiences I had in the past, how I passionately felt that business was really meant to be a force, a positive force on the planet for doing good, and how we could, if we just shifted our mindset, our paradigm a little bit around business, that business could revolutionize the planet and just really change communities and the lives of individuals. And I started doing all kinds of research around business and social entrepreneurship. And I discovered that I wasn't alone, that there was this entire movement within the realm of business around social entrepreneurship. And it just, it inspired me to create a company. So then that led to the next question. Well, if it's going to be a social enterprise, what kind of company would it be? And kind of the next thing that really happened was I determined in my own mind that it would be fashion related because, like I said before, that was one of the passions that I had before I went to dental school. And then I just kind of went on a fact-finding mission. I went to some trade shows. I found a rattan purse. It was actually in Hong Kong. I fell in love with it. I discovered that it came from the rainforest. It was actually part of a trade show was brought to the trade show by an Indonesian company, and I had just been in Indonesia several days before that. And I fell in love. Again, I started doing more research around rattan. It's kind of like the blind squirrel finding an acorn. Fell in love with the person. Little did I know that it came from the rainforest, that it was a very sustainable product. It was very eco-friendly. And I was off and running at that point.
How long has your company been in business, Persis been in business?
So we launched on Indiegogo October of 2015. And it's been solely bootstrapped by myself. I would really like to find a partner. That would be a wonderful thing. Up until this point, I'm the sole founder, and we're kind of at an intersection, a crossroads currently, because one of the beautiful things about this handbag is that customers can design it themselves online. I didn't ever really want to just buy things that were made overseas and import them and resell them. To me, it's a whole different paradigm shift around not only just business, but manufacturing itself. The way that we're manufacturing the bags, what we're preparing to is a new mindset around manufacturing known as mass customization. So mass customization basically means that we do not design bags, make them in mass quantities, and then sell them on the market wholesale or even retail. What we do is we don't make anything until the customer designs it themselves and buys it. The really beautiful thing about that is there's a lot less waste, and it conserves inputs, and it's a much more efficient way of manufacturing. It's kind of how Tesla makes their cars. If you go to a Tesla lot, are not cars on the lot that you buy. There are cars on the lot that you drive. A few, there'll be one of every model, for example. Then you get to test drive the cars, and if you want to buy one, you go to the computer, you design your version of that model, and then they make it. So it's the same form of manufacturing, and it's the wave of the future.
Well, okay, and I'm not trying to be rude. How much would a bag cost?
Nope. So we did it at what's called a feasibility study, outsourcing our manufacturing to a local manufacturer here in Butte. So I'm not building a factory. I'm going to a manufacturer, and they are partnering with us. So using that facility and doing an entire, business workup and cost analysis, our price point is between $250 and $300 a bag, depending on materials that the customer selects. And we're about $100 less than our competitors who are doing a similar mass customization business model, only with leather bags. So ours are custom made, handmade. The rattan is imported, and the bag is assembled here in Butte, Montana. Once it's assembled, then it's shipped to our customer's door. I do have bags that are off the shelf that we imported from Indonesia to launch on Indiegogo, and we're selling those to help fund the building out of our manufacturing here in Butte. So the phase that we're in right now, the customization software is up and running on our website, so we're asking customers to go online, play with it, use it, test it, fill out a survey, let us know how they feel about, for example, the price point, the experience of using the software, the whole business concept. And then the next step is we will take that information and use it to pitch our idea to investors, acquire the funds needed to actually set up the manufacturing here in the U.S.
And give me a timetable. How long do you think it would take you to get it set up in the U.S. fully?
Next year, about this time, is when we hope to launch our manufacturing here in the U.S. So about a year from now should be plenty of time for us to do that.
Now, you're going to launch, but you have bags already available with the software to design your own bags. Am I correct?
Right. So we're in the testing of the software. It's kind of like a beta launch of the software. You can design the bag. Unfortunately, we're not at the point that we could actually make that bag that you design. But by virtue of going online and using the software, you're helping us acquire information about, is there something in the software that we need to change? Is there something in the experience that we need to change? We ask our customers, our potential customers, how do you feel about the price point? So we're essentially testing our market before we actually build it out. And then that information will be used to help us be more successful when we do launch. And the bags that we are selling are very beautiful. They're just not customized. They're very similar to the bags that people will be able to order and buy once we have launched our manufacturing here. They're just not customizable. But for all intents and purposes, same bag.
Okay, let me ask you this. This is from Diane. Diane asks, are you going to be doing any trade shows anywhere other than Butte, Montana?
So that's a really good question. And I looked a lot at what are some of the ways that we can get the word out about our product. And we have gone to a couple trade shows. Part of the issue with trade shows is that business model doesn't fit very well with the mass customization business model, because usually at trade shows, you're selling wholesale. This is not a wholesale concept, business concept. This is a retail. It's like hand in glove. Retail goes with the manufacturer. So not only are we selling them directly to the customer, as opposed to selling them to boutiques and Nordstrom's and Macy's and all of those, we're selling directly to the customer and we're making the bag. So it's very different in a lot of ways than the traditional business model of manufacturing.
And go ahead.
Well, so trade shows, we have gone to a couple, and it was mostly kind of fact-finding for us doing marketing research. But if anybody knows of appropriate trade shows that they think would be good for our company, my ears are wide open. I would love to hear about that.
Janice wants to know, when are you going to write your biography of starting as a dentist and all your studies, mm-hmm. going to being an entrepreneur and radio host?
Well, something that we have in the works right now is a documentary, because I think it's an important story to tell. There are amazing parallels between what has happened here in my hometown and what I see happening in Indonesia currently. So the documentary will be not just about, you know, how I ended up coming back to Butte and starting this company, but also about, I guess, the universal drama that is playing out on the planet. We seem to be making the same mistakes over and over. And I think...
And may I ask what mistakes those are?
The old paradigm of business is one that is focused almost entirely and strictly on profits. It's a little counterintuitive that you could actually, over the long term, if you take a long term, broader perspective, business is more profitable if we focus on sustainability, benefit, doing good on the planet, considering all of the stakeholders in the process of doing business. It can be a win-win situation. And it actually, as it turns out, is more profitable. The old paradigm basically says we're not going to look at anything other than the bottom line. And what that ends up doing is kind of kicking the can down the road, because there are a lot of hidden costs or delayed costs when you do business that way. Somebody has got to pay. So you're essentially transferring the cost of doing business today to future generations who have to kind of come back and fix and repair a lot of damage. So,
okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm listening. You were going on. I'm saying okay. So you have a future. Do you think the current, and I don't get political on our shows, but do you think the current administration is supportive of a business of your type?
Well, I don't get political either, Bennett, but one of the tenets of, for example, conscious capitalism, which the founder of Whole Foods is a big proponent of, one of the tenets is to take into consideration all of the stakeholders. And one of those most important stakeholders, in my opinion, is Mother Earth. So if you are dismantling the...
Go ahead.
Yes?
Well, no,
if you're dismantling the EPA, I don't really think that that is a similar paradigm to social entrepreneurship or conscious capitalism. It's, in my opinion, it's a step backward to that old idea of we can make more money if we just look at profits and profits alone. Like I said, it's a little counterintuitive, but social entrepreneurship has been around long enough that we now know it's actually more profitable over the long term. Maybe not week to week, quarter to quarter, but you take a broader view over, say, the course of 10 years, social entrepreneurship actually is more profitable. So that begs the question, why? Why would it be more profitable as opposed to just looking at how can we make the most money possible in the shortest amount of time? Which is, you know, something that a lot of people have asked and looked at.
Have you thought of going to Whole Foods and, say, having a booth there or a kiosk there so I could design your purses there?
Well, Whole Foods would be a fantastic partner, no question about it. And as we, you know, progress along our journey and build out our company, you know, right now it's a matter of baby steps, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. But certainly I would love to work with Whole Foods, no question.
I mean, I don't think you'd be working with Safeway. I'm sorry. I don't think Safeway would buy into your concept. Safeway, Giant, the big grocery chains. Shop and Go, which is Giant. You know, I'm saying this would be more of, as I said, Whole Foods would do it.
Yes.
Or some of the other ones. I mean, this would not be in Walmart. Trust me, folks, it would not be in Walmart. Not that it wouldn't be great in Walmart, but I don't think they'd do that. It's almost like the Sears catalog without the Sears catalog.
Yeah, this is definitely innovative. And that's why, in my opinion, you know, nobody has hard statistical data to say why is sustainable business more profitable over time. But in my opinion, the reason why it is more profitable is that word innovation. People who are within that realm or kind of fall under that umbrella think outside the box. So if we're approaching business from a think outside the box standpoint, we're going to really look at new ways of being more efficient, reducing costs, making our employees happy, which is always saving money, because everybody in business knows that employee turnover is really costly and expensive. So it's, you know, paying people minimum wage, in my opinion, is not a way to retain your employees. You know,
exactly.
Paying them, yeah. So paying them at least a working wage and making it possible for them to share in, for example, the business's profits. That really motivates people in a lot of ways. And here's another idea that, for example, Zappos does this, and they're very smart. They're one company that I adore, and they definitely think outside the box when it comes to making their employees happy. That's like one of their biggest specialties, because they realize if we want happy customers, we have to have happy employees, and they're all about customer service. So one of the things that they do, that they offer professional and personal counseling for their employees, so that folks, when they come to work for Zappos, they're not just kind of stuck into a peg or a slot. They can be very mobile within the company and fulfill their own personal heart's desires and dreams, you know, whatever they feel that their calling is in life. They can pursue that within the company. So all of these things come together, again, a very innovative approach to keeping your employees happy. All of these things come together to make really successful companies.
Okay. Judith has a question. Judith says here, I like your concept. Are you planning on doing other things with similar concept?
Yes. So I think mass customization can be applied to many different products, not just fashion, not just cars, just about anything we make nowadays because of technology, because of computers and software and all that we have, that this can be applied to many different products. One of the things that I'm really excited about and that I would love gone beyond just handbags is not just custom design, but custom fit. And this is, again, a kind of a wave within fashion, innovation within the fashion industry. Custom fit is something that a lot of folks are looking at right now. So the idea is you take pictures with smartphone, multiple pictures of, for example, your foot, if we're designing and we're manufacturing shoes. Those photos then are downloaded onto an app, and we can use that app to recreate a three-dimensional representation of your foot. You go online, you design your shoe. Now we build that custom designed shoe created by you online. We build that to your virtual foot. So it's custom fit and custom design. This is not, this idea is not totally 100% original. Like I said, a lot of people in the fashion industry are looking at this idea. And if we don't do it first, we certainly will do it at some point. But
well, could you use, say,
honestly,
and I'm
I
not,
believe,
this is from Elizabeth. Could you use, say, a 3D printer and get the person's foot or foots? I don't know if that's proper English.
That's one way of doing it. Yes, that's one way of doing it. But you could also do it virtually. So in other words, the software, the computer software, would tell you, based on a pattern, what dimensions that pattern would have to have in order to fit that virtual image. So rather than having the extra step and expense of 3D printing someone's foot, you could do it all virtually because computer technology and software is so advanced now, and it's advancing very rapidly. I mean, it's changing moment by moment, day by day, and it's not just changing, it's changing at an exponential rate.
Well, many years ago, there was a Big Bang Theory TV show where they made dolls that supposedly looked like the people. And it didn't turn out that way, but I'm hoping with a bag it will. Now, I don't want to get killed, so don't... I already got somebody here that's like that made the same comment remark. So we're good. So somebody at least has seen what I'm talking about. Let's take a 5-minute break, because I got to do my homework here. On the 26th of this month at 11 p.m., the Poet Laureate, if I could say it three times, I'll be happy. Danny Queen will be my guest. And he's going to be doing some of his readings. He's a fascinating man. And Danny Queen will be the guest on the 26th. There will not be a legal show on Monday. We're off for Memorial Day. We get a vacation, folks. So Sarah Avram and myself will be taking a vacation on the 29th for Memorial Day. Court's not in session. The bank ain't open. We're not open either. So we're having a good time. On the 31st, the lovely and talented, well, I can't say lovely. Lovely does not fit him. The brash, handsome, and wonderful radio host, TV producer, Alvin Jones will be here on the 31st, being Alvin. He's that good and he's that nice. On Friday, the 2nd of June, is it this far already? Elizabeth Black is coming back. She has a lovely radio show called In the Abyss. And if you haven't heard it, you should. It is that amazing. And we will have a legal show on the 5th. On the 7th, we have Michelle Paisley Reed with her new book. And on the 9th, we have Dave Smith from Hidden Mickey. And if you haven't, he is a Disney expert that blows me away. Really does. Lovely man, lovely thing. And Jean Joachim is coming on the 14th of June. The lovely and talented mystery author Jennifer Chase is on the 16th. And on the 23rd, Robin Peterman will be on Anything Goes, and she'll be talking about her new Kindle world. So it'll be, we have a busy month coming up, folks. It's not just, we're not sitting on our laurels and hoardies. And Rachel should be coming by sometime during the month. So it'll be really, really nice, too. She is working too hard on a new book. And so it'll be amazing. It really will. We have 11 minutes out of the, I don't know if I should say Carol or Dr. Murphy or, would you like to tell them your websites so they can find you and write you and touch your ring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are on, all the social media platforms, but our website is also just purseforthepeople.com, P-U-R-S-E-F-O-R, thepeople.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they want to know, okay, Danny with an I. See, I didn't think she was a male. She asked about where can she hear your podcasts in she's in New York.
Yeah, so if you go to Apple's podcast, that's an app that you just download and type in search, Heartstock Radio will pop up.
Okay.
So.
and she wants to know who's your next guests coming up. Sheesh, you can't, Danny, you don't like my guests coming up? Okay. I'm picking
up
my
listeners. The next program that will be posted that we just finished production on is actually around the concept of innovation, and we used our local toxic lake, the Berkeley Pit, which is a defunct old open pit copper mine that has filled with toxic water. It's really, really interesting and fascinating. We used the Berkeley Pit as our subject matter and our topic, and we discussed that in broad terms related to innovation, like how can we use innovation to solve our big world problems? For example, the Berkeley Pit. What kinds of innovative ideas have people come up with for treating this toxic water and mining the water that the pit has filled up with, which is the reason that it's toxic is because it's filled with heavy metals. And beginning of the year, I believe it was around November, trying to think. Well, this incident has happened twice where a huge flock of wild geese thought that it was just a lake and they landed in the water. And of course, many of them died. So that's how toxic water is, that birds can't even land in it and swim in it. And the real concern is that water level is slowly rising, and mined water treatment is a global issue. I mean, any place where there has been some intensive mining operations, especially ones that date back to the Industrial Revolution and pre-Industrial Revolution here in the United States, there are a lot of mine waste issues that have to be dealt with. Just in the United States alone, I believe there's over 1,300 designated Superfund cleanup sites. Now, mind you, not all of them are related to mining, but this is a real world problem. And seems how we do have all of this technology, and the technology is advancing very rapidly. How can we use all of the science, all of the technology, all of the incredible brain power that we currently have on the planet? How do we come up with solutions to all of these problems? Because I really believe that that is a role of business, to innovate and to find solutions for big problems. That's what.
And that show will be posted when?
So next week, that will be up on that same site. There are three programs on there currently. One is Clark Grant interviewing myself, talking about the concept of what is Heartstock Radio and what will the programming be about. Conscious capitalism, for example. What is that exactly? And then there are two other programs on there. One is visioning, and the other one is related to just current issues that we have in our community and kind of linking the environment to the business. How, if a community is dealing with environmental issues, how does that impact the local economy? How does that impact the social atmosphere of a community? Because there are many, many issues. It's not just, everything is interrelated and interlinked. So it's not just economic. It's economic, social, environmental. All of those things come into play. And everything is touched. Everything is affected.
God, I wish we had another hour. We are down to the last 5 minutes of the hour. I'm enjoying this. I don't know about you. I'm having a good time. You're amazing. If I haven't said it, you are an amazing lady. You're coming back. I don't know when, but you're coming back.
I would love that.
I'm sorry?
I would love that. That would be awesome.
Okay. And this is it's Heartstock Radio, and that is in Montana on the Butte America Radio, 102.5, KBMF. I don't know what the initials stand for. I don't care.
Well, that's.
I have somebody. It's like, oh, what kind of radio? It's talk. It's basically it's talk, and I don't know what other kind of things to do for their
it's
show.
It's public, yeah. So Heartstock is just one of the programs. It is a public, comes under the umbrella of public radio. So that basically means it's non-commercial. Most of our programming is generated by volunteers like myself. A lot of it is, you know, just your typical DJ playing music, lots of different genres. And then there are several other people like myself who do talk programs. And you can also find some of our programming on the KBMF website. You just go to ButteAmericaRadio.com. And if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see the logo for Heartstock, and you just click on that, and all of our programs come up.
And I will say this: if you I don't know this lady that well, but if you haven't seen the Purses for the People website, go. That's Purses for the People. Oh, and it's beautiful stuff. You just put Purses for the People in. It takes you right there. It is that good. It is that, you know, I can't wait till you guys are mass producing it slightly, you know, like a Tesla. Yeah, right. Okay. I like Tesla.
Exactly.
I'm one of the few.
Oh, I love Tesla.
Yeah,
I'll go
to Carol and say, Carol, give me a mail purse. You know, she says she's working on one. So hopefully there'll be, you know, I mean, I have my denim knapsack. I want something to replace it soon. So we'll work on it. So I know what I'm getting for Hanukkah this year, right?
Yeah.
All kidding aside. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention that if you go to the website, there's a tab at the top that says Designed by You, and that's where you can find our customization software. You just click on the little insignia are the words that say your design, and that will take you directly to the software where you can play with it and hopefully give us some feedback on it and complete the survey.
Okay, Montgomery asked this question. She's a female, thank God. Okay, but she says to me, I'm not trying to sound sexist. I don't know sometimes because you can't tell what they are, male or female. And she says, when are you going to write a book on dentistry?
Probably never. What kind
hey,
of book would
I'm
you
not
like writing
write? These questions. I'm just asking them. Everybody thinks I'm the guilty one. I'm not. I'm just asking these questions. I don't shoot the messenger, okay? I'm just a good guy. I'm the nice guy that has the field between the listener and you. Okay. We have about a minute left. Is there anything else you want to say in closing?
Just thank you so much. And, you know, my biggest advice to all those who have a passion that they want to give birth to that is, you know, within this realm of social entrepreneurship, do what you can, start where you are. It can be very overwhelming, but little by little, if we all follow our hearts, take those baby steps over a very short period of time, I think we can all together make a huge impact. So just follow your heart.
Thank you, Carol Murphy, for everything. As I said, you're going to come back. I don't know when. I don't want somebody to message me and say, when is she coming back? I don't know. We'll work it out. Maybe July or August, whatever. We'll find a way. Good night. Fly right. Mm-hmm. Be well. Good night. And Alvin Jones will be in this hot seat next week. So Planet Vehicles, Alvin Jones will be here. Planet Jazz, Alvin, he's busier than a bumblebee. So good night and be well. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you.